How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
The Lakers, Locked On Lakers podcast. We're still getting used to the name. We've gone through two different names before this point, and each time it's taken like roughly a year. To get used to
like
it.
Like, by the time that we change names, you're used to the new name.
Yeah, so here we are on the Locked On Lakers podcast. We're talking live late on a Saturday night after probably the most exciting Lakers summer league game ever. Am I jumping on a hot take there?
I've never seen a more exciting one than that. I mean, the only thing that I think you could maybe compare is the game before. And, like, that's because, like, if you're looking for, like, average entertainment value over the course of the game, you could make a case for the game before. Yeah. But, because tonight's game, the teams just looked awful coming out of the break. If you avoided the first half of that game, I'm a little jealous, to be honest, because it was horrific. It was some of the worst basketball I've ever seen. And, like, even considering it's Summer League, that, of course, a caveat, again, of it's Summer League. But, yeah, it was the first half was terrible. The second half was awesome, though. It was one of the best, not even just Lakers Summer League games I've ever seen, but just Summer League games, period.
Only in Vegas, during Summer League, will you find a scenario in which there is more talent in a Lakers-Sixers game than there will be in a Warriors-Spurs game, which followed the end of this one.
Yeah, did anybody watch that game? Like, did they even film it? Were there people there? Did the players show up? Like, I don't know.
I saw people warming up, and I found myself out of the arena.
I mean, they might just have to call it at halftime, because I don't think anybody was going to go to that game. Not after ice in their veins.
So, speaking of, the story from this one is the continued impressive play of D'Angelo Russell, which this time featured a game-winning heave from, how far would you say that was? 28 feet?
Something like that. I was on the opposite end of the court, man. You were up above. This is your job, not mine.
I had people jumping in front of me.
The Sixers bench jumping in front of me.
You're huge!
The Sixers bench is a little taller. I'm 6'4", but, like, come on.
You said you had a fun story as that shot was released, watching from your perspective and with the people in front of you. So go ahead and give us the story.
Yeah, so I was watching the game. I was standing there with Ryan Calipier and Calipier. I always forget how to pronounce his last name. It's 1 a.m. in Vegas. Mm-hmm. So Ryan, a friend of the program, Ryan, and we're standing there, and D'Angelo Russell gets this shot off, and I hear Ryan go, "It's good." And then I hear coming from the Sixers bench, it's off. and then the shot goes through the net, of course, and everybody saw. And you see, like, D'Angelo Russell's girlfriend kind of jumped up. She was sitting behind the basket with Jordan Clarkson. Jordan Clarkson jumped up too, but he just kept running. He ran
over
the court.
That was the chest pump?
Huh?
That was the chest pump?
Yeah.
Okay, I was wondering, it's like some random guy's on the court, he's...
Oh, you couldn't see from where you're sitting. That was Jordan Clarkson. Jordan Clarkson makes a beeline for D'Angelo Russell, chest bumps him. I think they accidentally knocked down Larry Nance Jr. because then while Russell is going over and... See, I couldn't see from where I was the, like, ice in my veins thing. I saw that afterwards. But you see Clarkson walk over and help Nance Jr. up off the ground because I think they knocked him over when they went for the... Or Nance, like, just... I mean, he is very athletic. So it is possible that he tried to do a chest bump, just cleared Clarkson, and kind of flipped over and landed on there. I don't know. I didn't see that part.
I hadn't planned on talking, or I didn't write him down, but we do have to talk about Nance. We'll talk about him next. D'Angelo Russell, though. It's kind of frustrating. I could see people getting frustrated watching him play because he dribbles so lackadaisically. You know, he's very loose with the ball.
It's too high.
it's high. It's looks lazy. You know, the way he
everything he does looks nonchalant. Though. Right. Like the game winner, he like looked like he was shooting it from a lazy boy.
Right. Well, like, yeah. He and even with that, I've been really impressed with the way he handles the game. And I remember this distinctly. I think it was Kyle Newbeck tweeted out that Ben Simmons was the best player on the court by leaps and bounds. And I read the tweet, and I didn't quite agree with it because Larry Nance Jr. was also on the court. And then all of a sudden, Russell just, again, it's just like yesterday's game. He just decides, hey, you know what? I'm D'Angelo Russell. This is cool.
I'm better than the rest of these players.
Yeah, TJ McConnell can't guard me. This is crazy.
Oh, poor TJ McConnell got crying Jordan within like 2 minutes of the shot going in. That was because his reaction was already brutal. Like, yep. He's just like staring off into space. Yep. And then like you're going to crying MJ him right afterwards. That's just like, it's just wrong.
And
like,
that's our boss. Shouts to Drew Garrison on that one.
So. Yeah, that was well done.
But yes, yeah, so my thing with Russell, the thing that has stuck out to me the most, and I wrote about him today for Foreign Blue and Gold, but I guess yesterday for Foreign Blue and Gold, but he...
It's not important.
He handles the ball. He gets the Lakers into the offense in ways that is very impressive for a second-year player trying to learn a new offense.
Yeah, and he's vocal directing guys. Even mm-hmm. when he doesn't have the ball, he's telling them where to go.
Right, right. And that, to me, speaks of taking time to learn the offense and spending time with the coaching staff to make sure he's on the same page with them when he's on the court.
One thing I did notice today was there were a couple timeouts where him and Casey Owens were having, like, when I said, I don't want to say animated discussions because that makes it sound like they were going at each other, but they were very, like, they were very hyper-focused mm-hmm. and trying to, like, you could tell they were trying to have a separate conversation and give each other their viewpoints. Yeah. And, you know, it was, Russell is just, he's really trying to get better, it mm-hmm. looks like. Right. I think he knows that his rookie year was a disappointment to a lot of people.
And it's showing. He's been when he's wanted to be, when he's really... The other thing, too, is that for any point guard, it's tough, especially a point guard as talented as Russell is. It's tough for any point guard to decide, all right, when do I go for my own? When do I get my team involved?
Yeah.
And in the second halves of these games, that first half, he kind of feels his way through the game. And then in the second half, I feel like he finds his footing, and that's when he starts going. Today's game was another example of that, and he just along with the rest of the guys on the court worked them back into the game after being down. I think it was 15 at one point, and the comeback was successful. You know, finally ending with the shot heard round Las Vegas.
Yeah, ice in his veins.
Ice in his veins. Even in 115 degree heat, that ice is still.
That seems strong. A little dangerous to me, but I'm not a doctor, so I'll let the team trainers take care of that.
The other guy I mentioned that I've been incredibly impressed with is Larry Nance Jr. And if I'm Julius Randle, I can't help but feel like, man, maybe I should have come out and played.
I mean, it's hard to not think that the best player in the history of Las Vegas Summer League, you know, wouldn't have gotten minutes anyway. No, but in all seriousness, Nance Jr. has been great. And it's just, his style is perfectly suited to a Summer League environment where he's just all out effort all the time. Mm-hmm. And these games are so sloppy and, like, just the balls flying all over the place that, like, he can get deflections, he can get steals just by virtue of his wingspan and his activity. And then he's off to the races. We asked him about it after the game. And he was just talking about how this new coaching staff has told him to go ahead. Excuse me, my coffee maker's going off in the background. The new coaching staff has told him, if you get those rebounds, push the pace. And that's something that we talked about Randle probably doing this year. Mm-hmm. But it looks like Nance, I don't think that he displaces him in the starting lineup immediately. But I don't consider it out of the question to think that Nance is going to get some starts this year. He got some last year.
There was a time, my issue with Julius Randle is I don't know what he wants to be. I don't know what his best case scenario is. Is he a fat Lamar Odom? Is he a,
hey, he's looking pretty sculpted in those new pictures that are coming out of his workout.
Is he a skinnier Zach Randolph? Is he, I don't know what, is he a less athletic Charles Barkley? Are these the
best? Is he Draymond Green? I think is what I should ask you.
He's not Draymond Green. All right. I've tweeted this out, but we hadn't seen a Draymond Green in 30-whatever years, you know, or if we've seen them, they are few and far between. There are not all of a sudden 37 Draymond Greens for any tweener 3-4 player who can't figure out what they should be.
This is why player comps are the worst.
The actual worst. But no, with Nance, though, I think there's a distinct role that he can play, right? I think, like, he stepped out and made I know at least one three-pointer today. I think he made a three-pointer in yesterday's game, maybe. I don't know. He's made three-pointers in practice. If he's added that game and that's something that we actually get to see moving forward, great. But he doesn't need the ball to be successful the way Randall seems to. And the players on the court seem to legitimately... They're legitimately drawn to Larry Nance. When he makes a play, the rest of the players on the Lakers, summer league roster right now, rush to him and say, "Oh my God, I can't believe what you just did." That's a new thing.
Well, yeah, and then also, like Zubat said after the game, he specified Nance as someone he really likes to play with, not just because his on-court activity and like his style of play benefit Zubat so much, and that they just create that long wall of arms at the basket together. Mm-hmm. But I think Nance has really made an effort to take Zubat under his wing a little bit, and he was. Why you gotta throw me off, man? It's 1:30. I can't recover from this as quickly. But so Nance Jr., you know, he's just a good teammate. Yeah. Right after Zubats got dunked on, he said that the first thing that he told him is, "I'm gonna get him back." Mm-hmm. And then he went down and he got him back once. He dunked on them once, and then he dunked on them again just to make sure that Zubats saw it. You yeah. know, he like Zubats was looking off in the other direction maybe the first time, and he's like, "Oh man, you missed it. All right, I'll dunk on him one more time for you, rookie."
Should I pour out a little liquor for Zubats though? Should I? Maybe not in your hotel room. But
yeah, I prefer. I don't need that extra charge.
But Zubats was ended tonight. Zubanation, or no, Zubanity. Yeah, Zubanity is no longer. Jeremy Grant ended him.
He still played pretty well.
I know.
Other than that, he got dunked on.
Duh.
I don't know if you're kidding sometimes. I can't tell the difference between your real hot takes and your fake ones.
The one thing that has, you know, to go on top of his actual length and the way he affects the game on the defensive end, he looks really comfortable in the post.
Yeah.
Like, really he only gets the ball down there two or three times, a game. And every time he gets the ball down there, it looks like a good decision to do so.
Yeah.
So that's something that he could build off of. You had a fun exchange with Zubats. You made a little bit of news with a question.
Well, yeah, so somebody in I forgot your name, so I apologize, but someone sent me the Wikipedia page of Ivica Zubats right after the dunk, and someone had already changed his Wikipedia page to say that, talking about his NBA career, to say that his NBA career then ended when he was murdered by Jeremy Grant on a dunk during the Lakers' second summer league game. And I thought it was pretty funny, and I was like, you know what, I want to ask him about this. And so I got to break news. So I'm not really a journalist anymore. I like to consider myself someone that tells players when Wikipedia has decided they died. Like, I think I've created a new niche position for myself. So anyway, we're in the scrum, and I asked him, I think, like, nobody wanted to ask him about being dunked on. And so I put it out, I'm like, "You got dunked on a little bit, like, was that your welcome to the NBA moment?" And he just kind of said, "Yeah, you know, we don't have those athletes overseas." He said, "You should watch the interview. He's really good." Mm-hmm. And then I followed it up, and I said, "Are you aware that someone changed your Wikipedia page to say that you were dead?" And he says, "I feel," or to say that you had died. And he said, "I feel like I did a little bit."
He's great. And I'm so proud of you for asking that follow-up question. I'll keep you around for a week.
I'm nothing if not a dedicated journalist of fake Wikipedia deaths. Gotta get to the bottom of these important issues.
He's become a legitimate fan favorite, though. Like,
in two games, it's amazing. He's the new, maybe that's why him and Larry Nance Jr. get along so well, is they're both the unexpected late-pick fan favorite of Las Vegas in two consecutive years. Because last year, that was Nance. Even though Russell was the more highly touted pick coming in, Las Vegas adopted Larry Nance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to get the keys to the city by the end of this thing.
Yeah.
Especially if
he's going to, Larry Nance Jr. should just come back and play for Summer League, for whatever team he plays for the rest of his career. Las Vegas loves him.
Him and Adrian Payne just out here forever.
Yeah. Just Larry Nance Jr., 15-year vet, coming out to Summer League to teach the guys the ropes of how to get Larry Chance started.
All right, so those were the obvious bright points of the game. The guy who took a slight step back, I would say, and not in a good way where he's, you know, stepping away from a defender to get a shot off, was Brandon Ingram. He floated a little bit today. He didn't shoot the ball particularly well, which one tends to lead to the other. Yeah. He was vital in the Lakers' comeback and eventually winning. He would have brought the house down. On a play where...
That three that he missed.
Yes, yeah. And it was all the way in there, too.
Yeah, if he had hit that three, I think people would have started chanting Ben Simmons is a bust.
Like, he might actually be. That's going to be the next point I'm talking, but go ahead.
Yeah, so what was funny was there was this palpable sense of Lakers fans just wanting it for Ingram because they wanted him to show right away, you know, it's the second Summer League game only, but they needed him to prove right now that he was the better player that he was going to be the better pick for the Lakers.
Well, we saw the same stuff last year with Russell and Jahlil Okafor.
Exactly. Right? And so I think Ingram, he didn't have as good of a game as Simmons did today. I think that much is clear. Mm-hmm. I don't think that we can draw any definitive conclusions from that, obviously. In fact, I think you would kind of go the other... Like, Ingram had a game to forget. That happens in Summer League. He's playing against pros for the first time. Mm-hmm. That just is what it is. But I think you feel like there was a conclusion that you wanted to draw in a different direction.
I'm concerned about Ben Simmons if I'm a Sixers fan. I'm legitimately concerned that... It's one thing, so I mentioned on Twitter that he has being so reluctant to shoot is a legitimate problem. That's going to be an issue moving forward in his career. And somebody said, well, he is young, he's skilled, he's athletic, he should be able to develop some kind of shot. And I thought about it a little bit. I didn't respond directly to the tweet, but it's not so much that his shot is broken. His shot doesn't look that bad. Like, when you watch Rajon Rondo, who actually Ben Simmons reminds me of, like a 6'9", uber-athletic Rajon Rondo. But you watch Rondo shoot, and it makes sense why he can't make it.
Yeah.
his right elbow is way out here, and he's, you know.
You don't have to tell me about players that don't look like they're going to ever make anything. I watched Rondae Hollis-Jefferson play for the Nets today, so.
But sorry, Ryan. But I look at Simmons, and there was a play today where somebody drove baseline, they threw the pass out to Simmons, he was in rhythm, there was nobody around him, it was a 15-footer, it shouldn't have been a problem, he passed up the shot. And he didn't look at interest, he didn't look at all interested in taking that shot. And that's an issue. Teams whose player, whose usage rate is higher than everybody else's, and don't want to score, that puts a ceiling on that team's potential on offense, as we saw with Rondo in multiple stops at this point. So I'm not saying that Simmons is a bust, but this is a concern to have moving forward that I hope he fixes, because at the end of the day, if Simmons is really good in the NBA, that means the NBA is that much better.
Yeah, and again, he's 18, or he's 19. Mm-hmm. And you'd think that he can get coached up. Mm-hmm. He can start to learn that, you know, he's going to have to shoot sometime. So I don't think that all hope is lost. But I do agree with you that there were some signs today. Little things to be worried about to start with.
Yep. But all other facets of his game, I really like him as a player. He's really...
His passing is unbelievable.
Right.
Like, we're talking about it like it's a bad thing that he wants to pass. If I could pass like that, I don't know that I'd want to shoot either.
Right. It's like somebody who shoots really well is just saying, I just want to heave it up. He's like the saying, shoot or shoot. Yeah, like people say, shoot or shoot, passers pass, apparently, with with Simmons. So that's what I took from there. All right, so question to the audience today, moving forward. You saw Ingram, you saw Simmons, you saw Russell on the court. How excited, on a scale of 1 to 10, are you moving forward? Make sure you jump in the comments. We'll see what the averages are, and maybe we'll mention it in the next show.
Yeah, and we have some fun show ideas for you coming up from Vegas. We're going to try and get some more people on the show soon from some other teams, and we have some more unique ideas that we aren't going to spoil right now, but we should have some good stuff coming for you from Locked On Lakers.
Absolutely. Again, that is Locked On Lakers. I'm Anthony Irwin. That is Harrison Fagan. Make sure you subscribe to the show. Keep on tuning in. we're going to try to get these shows a little earlier if we keep on doing them live than 2 in the morning. But as of right now,
Someone didn't want to leave the restaurant, so...
thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We still had a great audience today. We still have a whole bunch of comments coming in. Thanks for that. Thanks for all the support so far, and thanks for... I look forward to talking to you guys more.
All right, this was Locked On Lakers, and this is our awkward sign-off as I reach towards the camera.